Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Spiritual Unity Radio Network, a station dedicated to the concept that all manifestations of the divine are equally valid. Join Reverend Terry Power HP, Lord Onyx, and all the hosts 7 nights a week for programming covering a wide range of spiritual topics right here on Blog Talk Radio.
Spiritual wellness and physical health with your hosts Robin A. McKean and Lisa Ripple. This show focuses on helping you integrate your spiritual wellness, your physical body, and your emotional health. We talk about fueling your soul and inner self, as well as the right food to fuel your body.
And now, here's Robin and Lisa.
Hello, anybody there?
And good evening, everybody. This is Terry Power. And something has happened on the technical end with Robin,
Hello?
Apparently.
Hi, I'm here.
Hey, Robin, how are you doing with us? Robin, you are live.
Hello. Hello.
Okay. Yeah, Robin, you are live. Go ahead and start your show.
Ah, hi. I'm so sorry about that. My, I got kicked out there of the room there for a moment. So, this evening we're going to be talking about, well, first of all, welcome to Spiritual Wellness and Physical Health. And I'm here. I'm your host this evening, Robin McKean. Lisa, my co-host, is still a little under the weather from having had recent knee replacement surgery, as some of you may know if you're regular listeners. And so we are going to this evening have a special guest for me to talk to, one of my favorite guests, my neighbor, P.A. Night Owl, or Jackie Sutton, as some of you may know her. And we're going to talk this evening a little bit about, so you want to be in a coven and what to expect from that coven experience. I know Jackie and I have been talking a lot recently about potential students and people that we've been meeting who coming into the craft and coming into covens and having a learning experience that's really not traditional in so much as the way we were, the way she taught me and the way, you know, we see that it should be. So we kind of want to reach back a little bit and talk about what should you really expect so that you can have a gauge to know, am I really learning what I'm supposed to be learning, or and ask the right questions. Jackie, are you with me?
I'm right here with you.
Hi.
How are you?
Good.
Please do my best to Lisa. I know how hard it is to come out of the hospital after as many days as she was in.
Yeah.
So I hope she's doing well.
Yeah, the complication she's having is not actually related to the knee surgery.
I know.
It's dehydration from the surgery and being in the hospital and just everything else. So she's going to be fine.
Tell her I said to have a beer.
Okay, I will.
Beer works.
I will tell her that. Maybe she's even listening. So
yes,
I don't know.
That's the extent of my health and wellness advice on what you should eat, drink, or whatever.
Have a beer. It'll fix you.
Have a beer. It'll
okay.
fix you. And you know I don't drink, but
I know, in those cases,
I will have a beer.
Okay. Oh, I love you. That's your funny.
Okay, so, yeah, it you know, you and I have been having discussions over the past 20 years.
Yes.
But, you know, recently, and because of the Internet, we've talked about how easy it is to get information from the Internet.
Yep.
But also, how good is the information you're getting from the Internet?
Exactly.
And the other thing is, as much as I love the Internet for being a vehicle and an aid in reaching out to people, it also does not encourage people to get out into the real community with real witches, with real practitioners,
mm-hmm.
with real covens from the various groups. I mean,
mm-hmm.
whether it's Asatru, Strega, Wicca, you name it.
Mm-hmm.
It's, if you want to coven, it means you get together in person.
Right.
I do not have a lot of, from the Matrix, Terry, I see you.
Mm-hmm.
One of the things is that, you know, from our teachings, it's a very personal and experiential
mm-hmm.
teaching and practice.
Mm-hmm.
You can't get that through the Internet or by just reading a book.
Yeah.
And I think people expect a lot of what they can garner from what they're seeing and reading on the Internet,
mm-hmm.
but it does not take the place of a real, true working coven experience.
That's
my bottom line, and if anybody wants to disagree, please feel free to call in and argue with me, because
mm-hmm.
I'll tell you where you're wrong.
No. Yes, I've been doing that for 20 years. But
at least. Actually,
at least.
My first coven was in 73.
That's right.
Yeah. So I've been through a number of them. And when I was younger and the first covens, a lot of us were in school, in college.
Mm-hmm.
And then all of a sudden your college days are over and now you're going on to a new life and new locations and whatever,
mm-hmm.
and you lose touch.
Yeah, true.
And it's the same as, oh, hi, Leanna. You can argue with me, honey. Leanna just posted, I'd never argue with you.
Mm-hmm.
Just let me go off the side. Hey, Leanna, is it snowing up there? Anyway, but some of the things that I learned in those very early days, and it was such a unique experience and finding, and that was before the Internet. So we were people of the books. We were the students of. We ran around trying to find out where could we learn more, who could we learn more from.
Mm-hmm.
We put in an effort.
Mm-hmm.
However, the effort today, people don't go too much beyond getting on Facebook,
yeah.
or searching, you know. I mean, I'm when they first started doing some things on the Internet, and we're talking early 90s, and I'd already
mm-hmm.
been in the craft for 20 years. And all of a sudden, I'm finding this, oh, my goodness, this is a new media. And, you know, I go way back, like when the first bulletin boards were up on Prodigy. And a lot of people, I'm saying that, and they have no idea what I'm talking about.
But I remember. I was, yeah.
Yeah.
But we're old. But I'm old. I'm old.
Yeah. Not as old as me, but you're old enough to know better. Yeah. But, so, you know, part of the thing, and I have to say that you were one of the people who was very instrumental in getting people to come out and gather together by having your own festivals for years, which were very successful.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, and there are a number of festivals still going on to this day.
Mm-hmm.
But there's a lot of festivals there that aren't happening when they could have because there's not enough people meeting together and establishing a working group that then goes out and organizes a festival. You can't do that over the Internet.
Mm-hmm.
You need to have people come to meetings, make a plan.
Right.
You need, you know, a workers to do something. So what started out as a festival, it was because there were people who were getting together face-to-face.
Yeah, yeah.
And well, I think a lot of the stuff we're looking at today within the covens and what we're hearing when people are posting in, on different websites and Facebook chat rooms, they're not getting that basic. How do I get to to start out?
Absolutely. One of the things that I'm seeing more and more is students who have come from either looking around on the internet and learning things, or they are with teachers, and the teachers themselves, the people who are professing to be able to teach, are not teaching from a, hey, I only know this so much.
Yeah.
So let's learn together.
Right.
Okay. But oh, I'm an expert, but this is what I'm going to teach you.
Yes.
And I don't mind people who step into the teacher role because there's nobody else around and you know, trial by fire, hey,
right,
let's do this together. I will learn from you, you will learn from me. We'll keep going this together. That's a lot
right.
of how I did it when I first started teaching
oh,
years
sure.
ago.
Because
you've got to take that leap at some point, and sometimes you are truly called to do that work.
Right.
And if you're called, you're called, period, end of story, and there's a
yeah.
reason for it.
Yes.
And so I was very lucky that through all of that, going to those events and learning and seeing and watching people, gee, you know, she really seems to know her shit. I think I'm going to go talk to her. And I was very lucky that I met you. But I was in an active search for a teacher at that point because
sure.
I had been approached by some people in previous to that and realized very quickly that these were not the people that I wanted to learn from. And
yeah.
they were not very nice people, you know, really deep down. And they tried really hard, but they had their own agenda, let's put it that way. And then I met you, and I was very lucky that we just clicked immediately and
oh, yeah.
have,
yeah.
and now I'm your neighbor, and, you know,
yeah.
you may hate me, but you love me, too. So.
Oh, no.
So, but
yeah.
but it was an effort, as you said. I put in the work. I
you
volunteered
the
at all these events.
Right.
Then I had my own events.
Right.
I worked at it. And
yes.
it just doesn't come to people like that. And if, you know, if you go someplace and somebody says, oh, you know, I'll teach you. Oh, yeah, great, join my coven. And the next week you're in their coven. I would be really, really cautious about that
yeah.
situation because as a person who would enter into a coven with anybody, that's like having somebody come into your family.
Right.
So
right.
if somebody's going to marry your daughter, per se, or your son, you kind of want to see them have a little bit of a long-term relationship and get to know them before you know they're going to get married.
Definitely.
You don't want to find out your son ran off to Vegas with a stripper and got married. You know, I mean
right.
that's essentially what you're saying. If you can get into a coven in 10 minutes, hey,
yeah.
we're married now.
Yeah.
And some people don't understand that there's a process that you have to go through, get to know each other a little bit, maybe go on some social outings, invite them over to the house, have some
right.
potlucks, maybe do some drumming.
Right. Right.
It's not going to be an immediate thing.
No, I remember years ago, and in fact, Melly's online here tonight,
mm-hmm.
and this is when we were doing the old IRC. And at one point, everybody was, they had people coming in asking for spells, and it was a no-no. It was not something we allowed.
Mm-hmm.
However, one night, Melly got fed up, and she started this, okay, I'm going to give you a spell, and she started this spell.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm getting IMs all over the place going, don't let her do that. What is she doing? Da-da. And
mm-hmm.
I'm laughing because what she was doing was she talked about you take the seven or the nine sacred woods, you build the fire, you take the sacred water, you
mm-hmm.
put it in the cauldron, you sacrifice a chicken.
Mm-hmm.
That, you know, she went the whole route. And what she was doing was giving a recipe for chicken soup. And she said, and she finally, her bottom line was, once you have all this done, call up some people, invite them over.
Mm-hmm.
Get to
yeah.
know them in person.
Yeah.
And it was so funny for the reaction from people who were going, oh no, don't tell us a spell. But it was a really simple thing when you go back to
mm-hmm.
in ancient times.
Mm-hmm.
Tribes got together. They shared
mm-hmm.
what they had,
right.
and they got to know each other.
Right.
And that's what you do. Yes, sage. Yes, sage in the chicken soup. Yes, sometimes
mm-hmm.
sages were added to the chicken soup, sir, just because we could. But you know, I mean, how many years were you coming here when we had the larger
mm-hmm.
group meetings here?
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
And it wasn't just for our coven.
Right.
It was also, I mean, there were people from different paths.
Mm-hmm.
From Strega to the people from the Chantry were there.
Mm-hmm.
You name it. They
yeah.
all came. We all ate together. We had
mm-hmm.
we had the opportunity to meet and talk, and people had a chance to hear the elders talking
right.
very openly and very
right.
matter-of-factly about not only the covens, but the practices
mm-hmm.
and what worked. And
mm-hmm.
yes, we shared special stuff.
That's right.
Whether it was how to work with energy, how to create,
mm-hmm.
how to play with the energy balls, how
right.
to, you name it, just I mean, really basic stuff because, you know, if you're coming into the craft and you say, yes, I want to know how to be a witch, well, then you have to learn the basics. It's
That's
not
right.
just reading in a book.
One
you
of,
need to know it.
Yep, one of the things I'm wholly shocked at is I keep meeting people who say they've been practicing or been learning with a teacher for a year or two, and they're in their first degree or they're about to get their second degree, and you talk to them about the elementals. Oh, well, we
mm-hmm.
haven't really done about that. Well, what about your chakras? Oh, no, we don't really know about that. Well, these are your basics. These are the
yeah.
things that you cut your teeth on. The
sure.
elementals are so important.
Of course.
And you need to have really strong relationship with your elemental guides.
Yes.
Before you can even move on, really, in my opinion, to, you know, having a deep relationship with deity. I mean, you should
yes.
always choose a deity, but you need to work with those elementals first.
Of course. And the other thing is if when you are asked to come into a circle
mm-hmm.
with an active coven.
Yeah.
And I'm not talking about, you know, the big circles that are at festivals because they are open.
Mm-hmm.
It's a whole different thing when you're in a specific group, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And you've all worked together. Now you've got somebody else that's coming in,
mm-hmm.
and they have no clue what to do, how to do it.
Mm-hmm.
All right,
yeah.
So we're raising an energy that they can't even recognize at that point.
Mm-hmm.
If they don't know what to expect,
mm-hmm.
they're totally lost. You just run right over them. You can't do that.
Yeah.
But at the same time, when you ask someone to stand in circle and call your quarters and oh, my God, can you imagine having someone who's had no training at all and say, hi, stand in the middle of the circle. Now, you're going to do a drawing down of the goddess.
Mm-hmm.
They won't know the first thing in the world how to go about that.
Yeah.
And anyone, when they're that uncomfortable, they're already closed off. You know, they haven't had enough of their own experiential
mm-hmm.
process in order to be able to stand in a coven circle. And I think I'm watching some of the comments here on the screen, and
mm-hmm.
and I'm really glad to see a lot of people, because these are people that have been to the mountain over the years and have been in ritual with us,
mm-hmm.
and there have been people who have come to the mountain because people have brought them,
yeah.
and they have said that they have this background, that background, and then they actually get here, and then all of a sudden you realize, uh-oh, you have no idea what we're talking about. You don't have your basics.
Yeah, and Melly just made a good point in the chat room. If you're looking for a teacher, and Liana started, I think, the thread. If you're looking for a teacher, look for somebody that's life is not in constant turmoil. Look for somebody who's got a fairly stable life. They've got a job. They've got, you know, a happy home. Whatever it is, they may not be rich, but they aren't, you know,
but
in constant
in
drama. Yeah, exactly. You
they're
want somebody
balance.
Who's in balance. And if they're not in balance and there's constant upheaval and drama and craziness, they probably shouldn't be, teaching, because they really need to be focusing their energies on their own life and their own path.
Right. They have to, you know, it's like when we talk about spell working,
mm-hmm.
the first thing a spell changes is you.
Right.
The first thing as a witch you have to realize is how you are interacting within your own environment. You
mm-hmm.
have to get that kind of the balance and figure out what you need to do. This is not an easy path to follow, because the first thing it does is throw the ball right in your lap and go, all right,
mm-hmm.
you want to know how to be a witch? What are you doing about it? How
right.
are you doing it?
Right.
How well are you integrating with your community, with
right.
your environment? You know, it's not something you just, once a month during the full moon, I meet up with these people and now I'm a witch. No,
mm-hmm.
it's every day, every day.
Right.
And
I always tell people, otherwise be Catholic and just go to church on Sunday.
Sure. Yeah. If it doesn't become part of your persona, you haven't earned your robes yet.
Right.
You have to get part of that, so that you know it. And also, I'm going to go back to the experiential. When you have good teachers and you do come upon a coven, that they're going to have a pecking order. They're going to have this is what you need to do now. This is what you need to do. They're going to walk you along.
Mm-hmm.
And when they do, they have expectations that this is what you're learning.
Right.
Because degrees are not handed out because you've shown up.
Right.
Degrees are handed out because you have exhibited the balance and the ability to handle energy,
mm-hmm.
to integrate it, and to work. Your life becomes mm-hmm. better. You
well,
become
you know,
stronger.
Right. And you know, life is always going to hand you crap. I mean,
sure.
that just happens. Everybody's
sure.
life gets, you know, shit
mm-hmm.
on every once in a while. It's just the
sure.
way life is.
Sure.
And it's a measure of of how balanced you are by how well you can handle it.
Right. How do you survive traumas?
Yes, and the idea is to get back to center as quickly as possible. If you can, the faster you can get back to center, the better. You know, I'll be honest. I had a kind of a crappy day today myself. I found out some things that didn't make me very happy today.
Yeah.
But I'm here
and
I'm happy, and I have formulated a plan in my head about how to move forward. And that's really all I can. That's really all anyone can do.
But
the thing is, you don't want to wallow. You don't want to. And you know, and I had a good, you know, emotional 10 minutes.
Yes.
Everybody needs that. But
it's
time to, you know, pick yourself up and move on and say, okay,
mm-hmm.
You got to get back to being all good.
I got to get a handle on this.
Exactly.
Yes.
Exactly.
Yes.
Because crying and wallowing doesn't fix it.
No.
You need to have that emotional release sometimes, but it's not going to fix it. And you need to be able to fix your stuff.
Yeah.
And take action.
Right. Well, the other thing, I wasn't planning on going into this part of it,
mm-hmm.
but after years and years of going all over the country, and even out of the country, to do workshops, and people get a little upset with me because a lot of places I've gone back to, like over 8-10 years, you know, the same places. And if somebody's coming to my classes, and I will listen to whatever they have to say. And if the first year I meet them and they tell me their story, I will give them some advice,
mm-hmm.
and I will help them to get more information so they can become solid in their own belief system.
Right.
Second year, if they come back to me with the same story and there's no difference, I'm going to ask, well, what have you done about it?
Mm-hmm.
And the third year, if they come back with the same story, I'm not wasting my time talking to them.
Right. And I've seen you tell people that.
Yeah.
I've seen you tell people, well, I'm not going to teach you.
Yeah, yeah.
And the look on their face is always like, what? I'm sorry, it's mean, but it's so true because they look like, well, you're just being so mean to me. But sitting at that table, hearing you and watching you year after year talk to them, and nothing is computing, nothing is changing, nothing is happening in their brain and in their world.
Yeah,
not going to work.
Yeah, it's not going to work. Because I'm not sitting there with a little magic wand fixing everything for them.
Mm-hmm.
They have to change.
Yeah, well, also, you know, we all get to a point in our life where we don't have that much time left.
No.
So why would I waste my time with somebody who's not willing to invest their own time?
Well, part of that, too, is and if you're working your energies right and you are teaching on that level,
mm-hmm.
there is an exchange of energy. I'm giving you everything I got.
Yep.
When something doesn't get through to you, I'll try. I may say the same thing 150 ways. Someone will get it the first time I say it. Someone
mm-hmm.
else won't get it until 3 years down the road, and I said it 150 different ways.
Mm-hmm.
But I will give that energy to you for you to get it.
Right.
If all you're doing is taking all my energy and not giving any energy back, and not to me, but to yourself, if you're not growing your own energy kernels,
mm-hmm.
like the people running around with the Lemurian seed crystals, what seeds? What? Okay. But what are you going to do? Chew the crystal? Let the seeds
mm-hmm.
go in your belly? I don't know.
Right.
But it. First of all, it depletes because it takes the energy away from the teacher. It takes their attention away from others who want to learn and are willing to learn. And it diminishes the teacher. It is an insult for you not to proceed, improve, get yourself in balance. Because when you do, the best honor you can give a teacher by becoming a peer, not a student. Now I'm going to go into another little thing I have here too, is that when that happens, and a teacher says to you, it's time for you to hive off, it does not mean they're abandoning you. You can still get to them. But it's like at a certain point when your child has gone through school and you put them through college and they are doing their own thing, and there comes a point a parent says, when are you moving out? please move out. I love you now. Fly free, cheesy bread. Go get
your own
place.
That's right.
And that's basically what you're doing within the Wicca, because it's a teaching experiential craft process.
Right. Absolutely. You know, it's like the little bird that gets to that point where the mother is pushing them out of the nest and saying it's time to fly.
Right. Yeah.
And you know, we're supposed to be witches. We take our cues from nature. And you know, you're right. It does come at a certain point where you have to say time to fly.
That's right.
With that, I'm gonna pause us here for a moment. It is just about the time for us to have our mid break song.
Okay.
And also, I want to announce, if you'd like to call in, I saw a couple of questions in the chat room I want to answer after the break. But also, if you'd like to call in, the call-in number is 646-564-9714, and I promise we won't hurt you if you call in. We might not agree with you, but we won't hurt you, I promise. And the song this evening is a song by Emerald Rose called Fire in the Head. And here we go.
Fire in the head, a flame in motion. Fire in the head, a sword that's sharp. Fire in the head, my drop in the ocean. A shield in battle and a string and a harp. Fire in the head, my eagle soaring. Fire in the head, my spoken word. Fire in the head, my torrent pouring. A grain of wheat and the cauldron stirred. Fire in the head. Banging a drum, we jacks looking, a one-eyed squinting, hopping on one leg, sucking his thumb. The black scout teaching me around the oak tree, humming a tune that I must learn. The black scout's gonna be so woke me, but oh, her cauldron spits and burns. Fire in the head, I'm a flame in motion. Fire in the head, I'm a sword that's sharp. Fire in the head, I'm a drop in the ocean, a shield in battle, and a string and a harp. Fire in the head, I'm an eagle soaring. Fire in the head, I'm a spoken word. Fire in the head, I'm a torrent pouring. A grain of wheat and a cauldron stirred. Fire in the head. Bells are ringing, rise to the door and disappears. Madman's laughing, ask him singing, does anyone have you that here? Raven sat in a creek and pondered, while the alder tree is strong. Raven's head flew up and wandered, singing stories and telling songs. Fire in the head, a flame in motion. Fire in the head, a sword that's sharp. Fire in the head, a drop in the ocean. A shield in battle and a string and a harp. Fire in the head, I'm an eagle soaring. Fire in the head, a spoken word. Fire in the head, my sword and pouring. A grain of wheat and the cauldron stirred. Fire in the head. Thank you. Fire in the head, I'm a drop in the ocean, a shield in battle and a string in a harp. Fire in the head, I'm an eagle soaring. Fire in the head, I'm a spoken word. Fire in the head, I'm a torrent pouring a grain of weeds and the gulf and stirred. Fire in the head, I'm a flame in motion. Fire in the head, I'm a sword that's sharp. Fire in the head, I'm a drop in the ocean, a shield in battle and a string in a harp. Fire in the head, I'm an eagle soaring. Fire in the head, I'm a spoken word. Fire in the head, I'm a torrent pouring a grain of weeds and the gulf and stirred. Fire in the head. Fire in the head!
You're listening to Spiritual Wellness and Physical Health on the Spiritual Unity Radio Network. Thanks for sticking around. And now, back to Robin and Lisa.
Hello. In case you're just joining us after the break, we are this evening speaking with my mentor, my teacher, and my confidant for 20 years, P.A. Night Owl, or Jackie Sutton, as some may know her. In case you are also just tuning in, Lisa is not with us this evening. She is still recovering from her knee surgery, and she's doing well, and she'll probably be back here with us in the next week or two. So if you were expecting to be hearing the two of us this evening, it's just me and Jackie this evening. But believe me, it's a great show, and I'm glad you're with us. Jackie, are you back with me?
I'm here.
Hi. Okay. So one of the questions that I saw in the chat room as we were talking before that I wanted to go back to was, what should a person expect to have learned or at least be familiar with by the end of their first year in a teaching coven?
Oh. Okay. First of all, they should know energy work.
Mm-hmm.
They should be practicing any energy work. They should be much more aware of their surroundings. And when we're looking at energy and talking about different methods of getting in balance, I want them to tell me how it's affecting them in other segments of their life, whether it's at their job, whether it's in relationships, whether it's with their children, whether it's with just how they react in different mm-hmm. ways from what they may have been doing before.
Mm-hmm.
The other thing, when you honor a coven and you are asking to be a member as part of that coven, our primary function is to hold circle together.
Mm-hmm.
So within that circle, my expectation in that first year is that you are able to call a quarter, that you have studied the elementals and have worked with deity enough to be familiar enough to invoke in circle.
Mm-hmm.
And if anybody comes to circle with me after they've been with me 6 months, I'm not even waiting a year,
mm-hmm.
I'm expecting them to have the ability to call a quarter without a little cheat sheet.
Yeah.
They
be
have
to
know
it.
That element,
yep.
And they have to be able to talk to them and know
mm-hmm.
that when they're calling them, they're going to be there.
Every witch, by the end of their first year, in my opinion, should be able to call the wind, move the smoke in a fire,
right.
You know, play with a candle wick,
yep.
You know, with a lit candle,
right.
You know, have had some experiences with water, be able to call the
sure.
rain if
sure.
it's really needed. I mean, not something you do lightly, but
sure.
you should have a way to figure that out. And it's going to be different for a lot of people, but you should be able to say, you know what, I'm going to do some research, I'm going to do some trial and experiment. This should be something you have a passion for. This should be something you want to do. This shouldn't be like, you know, oh, Mom, look, I've got my spelling words for this week. Oh, gosh, I have to memorize
yeah.
them.
Yeah.
No, this should
no.
be something you cannot wait to go out and do.
Right, right. One of the things, and I'm going to tell a little story. And many of you know this one. We were at Brushwood at a festival years ago, and we were all sitting around our campfire, and there must have been about 25, 30 of us. Mm-hmm. And we were watching this beautiful light show. If you've ever been up in that area and watched the weather patterns and the storms coming in over Lake Erie, the lightning was beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
It was fascinating. And one of our coven sisters jumped up, bared her breast, shook them at the storm and said, "Yay, baby, we love you, come on over." You could see that storm front pause and turn. And I can remember saying, "Oh, shit," and diving into our camper.
Mm-hmm.
Within 20 minutes, that whole area had been flattened by a wind shear, is what they were calling it.
Mm-hmm.
It was like inviting a tornado to come sit in your backyard.
Yep.
She has never done that again. Did she know how to do it? Yes, she did.
Mm-hmm.
Had she been a practitioner for a long time? Yes, she did.
Mm-hmm.
Just because you can doesn't always mean you should.
That's right.
And that was a lesson she learned, and she had been a practitioner for many years. She started out shamanic,
mm-hmm.
and with her coven, and then she got down here, and I think it was in 99 that she started gathering with us.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, as she practiced, and she got very strong at it and very competent, and so when she called that storm, it listened to her.
Yep.
And I have seen people who are fire dancers. They are wonderful. I've seen them step into a fire pit, move the sticks around, move the logs around.
Mm-hmm.
They have never been hurt by the fire. That is the element they work with the most.
Right.
They also know, don't screw it up.
Mm-hmm.
And create that fire and invite that fire out of the parameter that you have set
right.
for that particular fire. They also do not say, "Oh, there is a forest fire raging. I'm going to go dance in that."
Right.
You're a witch. You're not supposed to be that stupid.
Mm-hmm.
You have to know your elements. You have to know your environment. And you treat it with respect. It is
mm-hmm.
not a toy. None
right.
of the elements are toys.
That's right.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah, Leanna, that's it. It comes down to it was one of the things that has really surprised me that people who come on the internet and start giving credentials and telling us what great big muckety-mucks they are and how well
mm-hmm.
they make magic,
mm-hmm.
and they have no idea how
yeah.
to work with an element.
Well, as concisely as possible, and I know that's kind of funny. I know that you and I have talked about this.
Mm-hmm.
You make the point, and I think it's a very valid point, that all of the deity forms that we look at
mm-hmm.
really spring from their relationship to the elements, to the elementals.
Yes.
It all goes back to the, I mean, you're a guy in a cave, you know, several hundred years ago. You are working with elementals and,
sure.
you know, so let me hear you talk about that just for a minute and explain that, because I think that's something that's really important for people to hear.
Well, I want to go back to before the guy even got to the cave.
Okay.
We are carbon-based life forms. That's the basic material for all of us and the Earth, carbon-based life. All right, in order to have that, the elements had to join together and work together. So the first deities were the elements coming together. from that, this world began to support life in a variety of ways. As man finally got a little bit smarter and went, okay, I can use fire for this and I can do this, but he also knew how to, when it was really, really raining hard, he also knew to get the hell out of that cave if there was water running through it.
Mm-hmm.
He worked with his environment. And in doing that, he was very, very close to the elementals. So he talked to the elementals. He talked to the fire. He talked to the animals. He talked to whatever elemental he was encouraging so he could have a good fishing season,
mm-hmm.
so he could have a good hunting season, so he could survive. From that, when you're looking at the deities, you have the deities coming from the elements themselves. And in every culture, you're right, Terry, we are too removed from nature
mm-hmm.
today. But at this point, that's how we got here today. Because
yeah.
our ancestors knew much more about how to live within their environment and survive and procreate
mm-hmm.
because of their interconnection with. And when they talk to their deities, there are the deities, when you look at, okay, give me a list of the deities and what are their correspondences. Okay, so you have, you'll have somebody say, well, oh yes, I follow Odin or I follow this one. Okay, in each culture you're going to have somebody who is the thunder god
mm-hmm.
with the water. You're going to have somebody else with the fire. The deities became real and personal and got form because our ancestors realized that they should be respected. They
mm-hmm.
found ways to let them know they appreciated them. And then the energies cooperated. And it's not like we're saying, I have control of the elements. That's ridiculous. I have a relationship with the elements.
Right.
I can ask for. I can say, oh, this is bad.
Mm-hmm.
But it's not that they're going to stop raining. It's not that it's going to stop flooding. It's not going to stop having an ice storm.
Mm-hmm.
But if I'm saying to my elements and my deities, okay, I'm kind of looking at the seasonal change here and you know, what's going on. You know my favorite thing that I say to my deities,
mm-hmm.
not do for me, but tell me what I need to know.
Right.
Give me a forewarning so that
right.
I prepare me to the best of my ability.
Mm-hmm.
You know, do I make sure that, like last week, okay, the guy came to service my furnace. Because guess what? It's getting cold.
Mm-hmm.
I am not going to say to my deities, hey, please keep my house warm.
Right.
I'm saying I have a good furnace here. I'm going to keep it in good working order by having it serviced by people who know what they're doing because I don't know how to service it. I'm not
yeah.
putting that into the hands of or the responsibility of my deities.
Mm-hmm.
But at some point, there will be a little click in my brain that says, hey, it's that time. This is what's happening now. The weather's changing. Don't you think it's time to have this checked? Before it gets to be a
mm-hmm.
problem.
Right.
So, you know, I don't think I'm you know, walking around saying I am so magical that I can control this. I'm not.
Mm-hmm.
But am I connected
mm-hmm.
through my deities and through the elementals
mm-hmm.
enough to know what I should be doing?
Right.
And then when I know it, I do it.
Mm-hmm.
It's it's not enough to just hand it over and go, hey, make my world better.
Yeah.
No, let me know what I need to know to survive
it. Yep, absolutely.
And
so,
and I don't know how that's such a hard.
Yeah.
I know it's a KISS theory, but even when you're doing spell work, I mean,
mm-hmm.
the simplest spells work so much better than these.
Yeah.
Oh, you know.
You would think that as a witch, that would be one of your first things that you would think would be innate. Well, I need to be in tune with the elements and with nature and with what's around me. But as we were saying in the chat room, we're not connected enough to nature anymore, and we're so removed that it doesn't occur to people. And I think, you know, going back to what you were saying at the top of the show, is people are becoming internet pagans.
Yeah.
And they're very happy to sit in their little, you know, their dens or their living rooms or their bedrooms at the computer with their feet in the carpet and their, you know, climate-controlled room and, you know, say, I'm a pagan. And you need to get out and get your feet in the dirt and the wind in your hair and the fire on your bum when it's chilly.
Uh-huh, uh-huh, uh-huh.
And, you know, and work it.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, and when it comes right down to it, when you're doing that, when you're experiencing that, and again, we're back to this is an experiential pathway.
Mm-hmm.
When you are doing those things on a continual basis and you feel secure in who you are, and that you're in touch with, there's nothing that can really shake you that far off of your balance.
Mm-hmm.
It empowers you. You know, simple energy working practices. And I remember reading a book years ago, and it was Women's Mysteries.
Yeah.
And one of the things they did was they just took balls of yarn and sat in a circle and rolled the yarn back and forth and back and forth to each other. And what they created was a woven, strong network that was able to, they could put someone in it and actually pick them up with this weaving that they had done just from simple balls of yarn. All right, that's a teaching. It's when you look at it, that simple interweaving just by sending energy back and forth to each other, but in visually actually using a ball of yarn to say this is how energy works.
Right.
And then to see that because you did that weaving, it got stronger, and now you can lift, you can take care of this, you can do things.
Right.
That's what happens to your own inner workings. They get stronger.
Right, and it's
when
also
when you use them.
Right, and it's also indicative of what happens when you have a strong community.
Right.
Or a strong coven.
Right.
That you all lift each other up and you all support each other.
Yes.
And
yeah.
It just takes a connection and thread.
And that's one of the things that you have to really think about when you are choosing to join a coven or to found a coven if you've hived off, who do you want to teach? And you don't just jump in and go, oh, we're going to have a coven, we're going to do this, and we're going to do that. No. First, you have to get to know each other on a really, really firm basis. And from there, you start forming the strands of energy that will bring your coven together. And that's why it's very difficult when it doesn't work because you always look and say, what did I miss? What did I miss? What did I miss? How did that happen? And you've done it, and sometimes there are people that when they figure out that this takes work, and it takes dedication. It scares the hell out of them.
Right. And that can work both ways, too. Sometimes teachers get halfway in and go, oh, my God, this is a lot more work than I thought it was going to be.
Oh, sure, sure, sure. Yeah. If you had told, well, and another little story is just, you know, history. When I was searching, you know, in the late 60s, early 70s, and then did the first coven, and you know, going through that, there came a point when I thought, wow, this is really, and I needed to know more. And that was before the internet, so it was more traveling to find out and talking to people, more buying books, more research at libraries, you know, that kind of thing. It was hard. But none of it was ever useless information, even when it didn't fit. Even when you would read a book and you think, okay, they got this published, but what the hell are they really talking about? And sometimes you will read these things, and I have my favorite people that I read their stuff as soon as it comes out. Or I will sit around a campfire with them at a gathering. And we'll have really great discussions, and not just from Wicca. I mean, different pathways. And then you'll find a commonality. You'll find, yeah, this works with ours too. We do this too. They may use different techniques. They may use different items, but they're all talking about connecting with the elementals and the deities.
Yep.
And when you get to that point, then that's all you have to do.
Right.
You just, and is there a time when you know it all and you're all done now?
No. Yeah.
Constant. It's a constant work in progress.
Absolutely. I just actually almost just word for word typed that in the chat room with people.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I was saying, you know, we constantly work to improve ourselves. That's what this is in a lot of ways about. And there was another question posed in the chat room. What do you look for in a new student? What tells you, or is there a formula that you look for in a new student?
Consistency.
Mm-hmm.
And showing that there's some... You'll be doing something, and you'll have it all thought out, and this is what I'm going to teach today, and da-da-da-da-da. And all of a sudden, you'll see this look that's going, eyes glazing over, like, I don't get it. And you think, okay, all right, how do I make this different? How do I do this differently? So it may be going back to a really, really basic, simple, let's get up and do this. The student who's really hungry to learn, and then when they come back the following day, the following week, the following month, you see that they are standing on their own, and they're actually able to participate and realize it, then that who you keep working with.
Right.
Because those who are not that committed or not that, if they can't come back and start blathering and telling you about an experience they've had, you know, it's like, well, what aren't you doing? What's going on? Because there will be experiences.
Right.
And when it happens, it's wonderful. And you know, you've heard me say this before, as a teacher, it's not my job to teach you everything there is to know. My job is to validate as you are experiencing these things for yourself.
Yes. One of the most important things for people out there listening to think about when you join a coven or you seek a teacher is if that teacher tells you you have to do it this way, this is the way I do it, or it's the highway. Run.
Run.
Do not stay, because they cannot teach you how you should walk your path to deity. They only say, hey, that's a great thing, the experience you had. Let me tell you how it happened for me. Or let me tell you the similar experience I had, and let me validate your experience for you so you know that you're on the right track.
Yeah.
And that has been the most valuable thing about having you and the ladies in our original Owl Mountain Coven to be there for me, to validate stuff. I mean, good, bad, or indifferent. Whether I came and said, hey, I had this, and they all looked at me and went, what are you, crazy? Or, you know, or said, yes, you know, that's awesome. Yeah, this is what happened to me, and yes, I've seen that. It's just a wonderful feeling to know that you have that, because ultimately, when you come back down to it, everybody, every person, whether you think you're an atheist or a Catholic or a Jewish person or whatever religion you profess to belong to or spirituality that you profess to follow, each of us comes into this world to walk a spiritual path alone.
Mm-hmm.
We cannot, nobody can walk it for us. Nobody can walk it with us.
Right.
It's ours to walk by ourselves.
Right.
And we go out of this world again by ourselves.
Sure.
So that's like that common thread. We come in, we walk it, and we go out.
Right.
And you can have other people support you in that path. You can have other people on a similar path.
Right.
But you're all walking your own separate path.
Yeah. And that's the way it should be.
Yes.
You should not be a follower of a spirituality.
Mm-hmm.
You should be, you should have ownership.
And direct
and
the connection.
That's right.
That's it.
And I know it sounds simple to say it, but for those of us who have gone through it and have done that practice and have and are still going through it, and we're talking 50 years later and still struggling with some things, just because sometimes I will do the yeah, but to myself. And it's a term I absolutely hate when you say to someone, well, you know, did you think about this? And then the first thing they say is, yeah, but. And the first thing they're going to tell you is why they can't do it. Well, if they are to the point where they think they can't do it, then they're not going to do it.
Yeah, you get that resistance wall. Well, and you give them all the reasons why they can do it, but they always have a reason, a yeah, but.
Right.
You just realize they're not ready to go there yet, and you just leave it, and then it's up to them to either break through that wall, the yeah, but wall, or or not,
the yeah, but.
And the yeah, but wall.
Yeah.
And that's pretty much that.
Yeah.
We are at 11:03.
Oh, I'm sorry.
That's okay. No. We
time.
Have actually, we could fill 2 hours if we wanted to.
Oh,
but I know that you want to go to bed. No, I want to go to bed.
Yeah.
And one of the things I want to mention is that we're going to try and have Jackie on fairly regularly, maybe once a month or once every 6 weeks or so, as her schedule allows. Because I feel, and I told you this recently, I feel that you have so much good information that should be available to people, and there's so much bad information out there. And I have had the good fortune to have you as a mentor and teacher for all these years, and I hear horror stories out there all the time about people who get involved with teachers and covens, and I just think, wow, why did I get so lucky? So I feel like I have this opportunity now that I have the radio show that I can share you with people who would not normally have access to that information. Thank you for doing this. I so appreciate it, and I really, you know, really want to share that information with others. I mean, and I do through my own teaching because you've taught me, but if people can hear it from your mouth, it's just so much better.
But
and
again, your path, since you have hived off, you have your own groups, you're going to teach a little different from the way I teach.
Mm-hmm.
You might have something that I've given to you that you feel is important and you work with it. But how you mold it and how you get to that particular point when you have a student, then this is what we want to do. I don't want clones of me. My goodness, no.
Right.
Everybody's got their own thing to go through. It's not exactly like mine and whatever, but you've got your balance, girl. I am very proud of you.
Oh, honey, thank you. That means a lot to me, actually, especially today. I had a crap-ass day.
I know. But, you know, you could call me and say I had a crap-ass day, and I'm going to say, yeah, that sucks, doesn't it? I'm not going to give you a big mumbo-jumbo. Oh, go light a candle. No. It's a day.
Yep. And then you're going to say to me, okay, so what are you going to do about it now? I know you. Which is why I sat at home and formulated my plan so I could tell you. So, but anyway.
Hey, I just want to say I'm so glad Leanna's in here because, I know she has been sitting around my roundtable discussion with many people over the years. And Morning Glory Sticks, thank you very much for that was a very nice comical compliment.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just so much that we have been able to share with people.
Mm-hmm.
And it is, do I really want to get involved in doing this? I'm not sure of that yet, honey. I am thinking about it. I will try.
Mm-hmm.
No, I won't try. I trust I will consider it deeply.
Okay.
And I trust I will do it as long as I can. But one of the things is that the people who are here tonight, if they want to bring people in with them and you know, would love to have them. But I also want them talking.
Yeah.
It's a roundtable discussion. It's not, I don't want to do a lecture series, okay?
Yep.
So.
Which means that some of you people should call in.
Yeah.
That's what she's saying.
Yeah.
You chicken shits. No, I'm just kidding.
Yeah, because, you know, I'm old. I can't take the whole thing all by myself. Okay, yes, I can. I can talk for another hour easy. You know that, and I know that. But yeah. But anyway, I'm glad everybody showed up tonight. I hope to see you again. And
yes.
We'll the other thing, too, is please don't forget, we started out by talking of get out from behind the computer and get together with like-minded people.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it's just, you need that. You need others' energies to validate each other.
Yep.
Okay.
That is part of this path.
Yes. It's the experience you need.
Mm-hmm.
You can have your experiences with your elementals. You can have your experiences with your deities.
Mm-hmm.
But we are a social animal. We need each other.
Mm-hmm.
There's nobody out there who can do everything and teach everybody everything. But if we talk, then what we talk about, that person talks to someone else, and that's how we grow our community. And that's what we know.
Exactly. Oh,
Roseanne says she's depleted. I'm sorry, honey. I'll send you some.
Yeah.
Okay. But so I hope Lisa recovers quickly.
Yeah. She's going to be fine. It's just a dehydration issue, I think.
Yeah. Hold you. Beer.
I know. Yeah. I'll pass that one along to her.
Okay. Good night, everyone. Thank you very much for. I've seen everybody just jumping right in here on the chat. Would love to hear your voices. It's really nice to hear voices.
Mm-hmm, that's true.
Hopefully we can have a, someday we can have a real roundtable discussion.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, check as locally as you can to see what's going on in the community, what things could you go.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe some of us will actually be at those gatherings. I'm thinking about going out and doing some more classes, but it all depends. I'm old, guys. I don't jump up, run around, and do that crap anymore.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't tent, and I don't sleep on the ground. So,
yeah.
You know, there are certain things that restrict what I once was doing for years.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know.
Agreed.
So anyway, blessed be everyone. It was great talking at you. Okay?
Yes. Yep,
all
and
right.
Thank you for coming. And as always, everybody who listens to the show knows that I always have my ending tagline. We'll see you next week. And in the meantime, spread the love. Thank you.
Blessed
and thank
be.
Jackie for being here. Blessed be.
Night,
night.
Night,
all.
Night.
Night.
Thanks for listening to the Spiritual Unity Radio Network. Join us 7 nights a week for exciting programming covering a variety of expressions of faith. And remember, all manifestations of the divine are equally valid.